Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. There is so much to tell you about our pro-life project. And again, a leader from out of state called in, I need 20 Focus on the Strategy 2 DVDs. 20. Praise the Lord for that. But I'm going to take a time out regarding our pro-life project to tell you about a young gal from Holland, from the Netherlands, who is getting married tomorrow. In fact, I have the honor of performing this wedding, and it's between my nephew, whose name is Brian Enyart. So he's related to me. Brian Enyart Jr., my brother Brian, he's also getting married this month. That is so exciting that my brother, too, is getting married. But my nephew is getting married tomorrow, and I'm performing the wedding, and he's marrying a gal from Europe. Her name is Maxime. Maxime, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thanks for having me, Uncle Bob.
It's so cool to have you in the studio.
It is.
So you've really made a hit at our church, Denver Bible Church. Everybody loves you. Your story is fascinating. Could we back up to when you were living in Europe?
Sure.
So tell us, first of all, you're from Holland.
I'm from Holland.
But most of us here in America, we went to public school. People don't know where Holland is or even what it is. So tell us, what is Holland?
It's a country.
It's a country.
It's next to Germany, mm-hmm. to the left of Germany, and just above Belgium.
To the left when you're looking north.
Yes.
Just north of Belgium. And it's really, all of the Netherlands are sometimes referred to as Holland.
Yeah.
But really, Holland is just part of the Netherlands.
It is. It's two provinces that are named Holland. Very few people know that.
Yeah, see that? So you are from Northern Europe.
Yes.
The Netherlands, from Holland. And so did you grow up, my nephew is a Christian, a committed Christian. Did you grow up with a godly biblical worldview?
No, absolutely not.
So tell us a bit about what life was like in Holland and what you believed as a young woman growing up there.
Well, God didn't exist. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I believed back then. And I guess I was just pretty much indoctrinated by the secular agenda and mm-hmm. into...
The Netherlands is the first country that legalized homosexual marriage.
Exactly.
First country in the world.
That's right, yeah.
And so now we're years later, and marriage has been under assault. Children are under assault. There's a war on children. All the kids who are aborted. There's now euthanasia, right?
Yeah.
In the Netherlands, including on children.
Including on children, and even when you reach the age of 12, you have full say.
As to whether or not you want to be killed.
Exactly. So let's say you're a 12-year-old and you have cancer and mm-hmm. your parents just, you know, want to...
They would like to care for you and love you.
Exactly. Care
for
you and
love you. But a 12-year-old who may be, you know, there's no way anyone should be given that decision, but they'll let a 12-year-old say, I want to be killed.
Yeah. They will let a 12-year-old decide.
And babies and toddlers are killed.
They are.
In the Netherlands because they're, you know, we want designer jeans, baby. Babies. We want perfect babies. So here's a baby and I actually have to care for this baby and it will require my love and devotion. I don't want to give up my life to this kid. It'd be better off dead. So they kill their babies.
Pretty much.
Not only before they're born, like we do in America, and increasingly we're euthanizing kids like Dylan Walborn at Denver Children's Hospital. They recommended that the parents of Dylan Walborn starve him to death, 4-year-old handicapped child, and they starved him to death. It took weeks to kill him. It was devastating, documented at dylanwalborn.com on the internet.
That's awful.
So anyway, those kind of things are happening. So how did you become a Christian?
Well, I was really unhappy with my life, and I saw that something had to change. I mean, I realized that my views on the world weren't correct and I was missing something. Mm-hmm. So I started my search online because that's mm-hmm. what we do nowadays.
Yeah.
And I came across my friend, Danielle's blog.
Danielle is a woman who attends with her husband, Curtis, and their beautiful 3 daughters and a son soon to be born. Yeah. They attend Denver Bible Church, and she has a blog.
Yes, she
which
does.
It turns out, you know, a million people have blogs, but Danielle's blog is really popular.
It is.
It's really popular, not only in America, also in Europe. And so we have theologyonline.com. We have shadowgov.com. Our radio show website, kgov.com. Tell us about Danielle's website.
Well, generationexposed.com. It's a website that, you know, shows the truth to an entire generation trained not to notice. Mm. And it talks about God and how the world is affected by taking God out of their life. Mm. We take God out of people's lives. So I started reading and I'm like, you know, she's pretty out there. And she really...
Danielle is.
Yeah, she is. And
yeah, we think that too.
And I was like, well, she's pretty strong in her beliefs and in her beliefs. And she really thinks she knows the truth. So, and everybody's hating her for telling the truth.
Everybody's hating her.
Yes.
She debated a very well-known lesbian.
She did.
And that went extremely well for our side.
It did.
Right. And that brought a lot of people to Danielle's website, which is generationexpose.com. Generationexpose.com.
Exactly.
Or expose, however somebody might say it.
So, and I witnessed those debates, and I was like, wow, you know, she really has points. And I decided to start comparing it to Scripture. So I went online, BibleGateway.com, mm-hmm. and I started looking up, and I'm like, wow, you know, she really has all of this straight, and it lines up with Scripture. And
in other words, what she's saying is in the Bible. She's not misrepresenting the Bible.
No, and it wasn't sugar-coated. It was out there. She didn't compromise on God's Word. And it's like, wow. You know, if somebody can get so hated online and still stand by their points, you know, she must have a point because everybody's hating her. And a lot of times when you tell people the truth, they will hate you for it, like they did with Jesus, too.
So you had some wisdom, even though you grew up in this atheistic post-Christian culture, you had enough wisdom to identify the truth. And Scripture, you had respect for.
Yes.
So here was a woman, a godly woman, standing up for the truth, righteousness, morality. You identified it. You compared it with God's Word. You said, that's true. And this all was important to you and persuasive.
It was. So I decided to drop her an email. And I wrote her a long email. And I explained to her some of my history. And very brief. And, you know, if she was willing to help me to get to know God better. And she was, and she sent me a really long email back, and it turned out it was just at the right time because she was getting discouraged because all of the people were hating and name calling.
It gets down on you a bit. It gets you down a bit.
Yeah, and
but,
so,
you know, the Lord took way worse abuse than we take. So even though it could get to you, in the big picture, we're reaching people. We do reach people when we're faithful to Him over time.
Yeah. And so that's what happened. And I decided to, you know, we decided to keep on emailing, and she answered all of my questions, and she really encouraged me to look for myself for answers, not to take her word for it. She's like, you got to take God's word for it, not my word, not anybody else's word, but take God's word for it. And she helped me look things up in Scripture, like, well, if you want, let's say, verses on patience, for instance, you look there and there and try to find something, then let me know what you think. And she always let me, you know, find things out for myself. So she didn't, like, you have to believe this and this is true. She told me to trust in God's word and look for the truth in His word.
So that's pretty neat. And then you ended up trusting in Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's exciting. And so then where does my nephew come on the scene?
Well, about in April, I was talking to Danielle about, you know, coming out here for a couple of months and just coming to church here and spending
Denver Bible Church.
Yeah, Denver Bible
Church.
Give
a plug to Denver Bible Church.
And we were talking, and I was telling her I'm so sick of Holland, and it's driving me crazy. And she's like, well, you know, I know the pastor's nephew. He's single, and he's really cute and nice, and, you know, he's a very godly man. And, you know, you want me to give him your email address? I'm like, yeah, sure, fine. Just, yeah. And so she went up to him in church, and I think she asked him, like, Brian, what's your status? And he's like, I'm single. And she asked him, do you want to get married? He's like, yeah. And she told him, well, I have this friend and she wants to get married too. You want to send her an email? And he was like, sure.
That's so great.
He sent me an email and the rest is history.
The rest is history. You guys, you interacted, including on Theology Online, right?
Yeah, correct.
Which is one of our church ministries, theologyonline.com, which, by the way, has had about 1 million posts and thousands of members. And if you Google the word theology, you get like 30 million pages have the word theology. And on the first page of 10 different websites, Theology Online is on that page. Yeah. It usually comes in about number 6 out of 30 million,
which is
so exciting. And that's the way we get so much of our Bible teaching out to the world through the internet.
Yeah, it's a great medium to tell people about God and about Jesus. And
yeah, to reach people about creation, evolution, how evolution is wrong, how abortion is wrong, homosexuality is destructive. If you love your neighbor, you'll warn them, tell them the truth. And ultimately about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead, so that if we trust in him, we will be saved, forgiven of our sins. It's all so exciting. So all these ministries, you know, we have a small church, but we have a wide outreach.
Yeah, we do. And that's the thing that I've noticed here. It's everybody is just, you see how many people support us from all over the country.
Yeah.
Not just in Denver, but we're a small church, but we make such a difference. I really believe we do.
Yeah, it's really exciting. We have visitors usually from out of state every week.
Yeah.
So about 2-3 weeks ago, we had people from 5 states visiting on one Sunday, which was extraordinary. We started with 30 people, by the way, back in 2000, January of 2000. We were planted by a Bible church across town, Derby Bible Church. And now we have average 100 people on a Sunday, 120 on a good Sunday. So we've grown a little. But our influence through the internet and the radio show and the Bible study albums that go out all over the country, MP3 CDs and our videos, like Focus on the Strategy 2, they just go out all over the country. So it's exciting.
It is.
We're reaching people. Okay, so you and Brian meet on Theology Online via email on GenerationExpos.com and then on the phone.
And then on the phone.
Okay.
So it was middle of the night. I couldn't sleep. It's an 8-hour difference with Holland. Right. We're emailing back and forth, and I'm like, you know what? Can I just call you? He's like, sure. So I call him, and we talked, and after that phone call, we both just knew.
Wow.
We just knew.
Pretty quick.
Yeah.
That was like Cheryl and I. We met at a seminar. I like to say we met at a death penalty event. That's not exactly true. It was a seminar, God's Criminal Justice System. And we had dinner the next day, and we were married 3 months later.
Wow.
So, similar to you guys. Yeah. Did you meet at a death penalty event?
No, not that.
No. But anyway, okay, so you guys talked, and pretty quickly you realized,
yeah, this is it.
We love the Lord. We love each other. We're compatible. Why don't we get married?
Yeah. That was pretty much it. Yeah.
And so many people at our church and around the country, because of Theology Online, are excited for you guys. In fact, there are people flying into Denver to see your wedding.
Yeah, correct.
That you've never met because you're friends over the internet.
Yeah.
There's a whole community at Theology Online. People share their prayer requests. They ask for wisdom, advice, how to deal with family matters. It's really neat.
Yeah, it's really a place of fellowship, and it's a community.
And witnessing.
Yeah.
It is a community.
Yeah, it is.
So some of those people are coming in for your wedding.
They are.
That is so exciting. And so you've been here now for going on 2 months?
Tomorrow will be 2 months, exactly.
Tomorrow will be 2 months. And at our church, we are old-fashioned. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
And so,
which is good.
It's good, you think? So we discourage couples who are not married from being alone together.
Correct.
So we advocate people being chaperoned. Now, what do you think of that? And have you guys tried that?
We've been chaperoned the whole time since I've been here. We've always had a chaperone.
For 2 months,
which can drive you nuts, too, because you want to spend time alone just to talk and be together. But on the other hand, it helps keep you honest.
Mm.
So we had Brian's cousin, David.
My other nephew, David, from South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina.
He's
My
here.
Brother, David, has a son, David.
David Jr.
And he is a wonderful young guy and good worker. And he's out here for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, he is. So pretty much for the past 4 weeks, he chaperoned us. And before that, Danielle chaperoned. And your sons have chaperoned us. Mm-hmm. And
when you're driving.
When we're driving.
That's right. So, yeah. And so it's worked.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And it makes everyone comfortable.
Yeah, because you're not.
Because as Christians, we know that God made sex for within marriage, but our culture, when young people are dating, what percentage are having sex? I don't know the answer, but when they're dating for a long time or engaged for a long time, what percentage are having sex? It seems like it's somewhere around 99.9, you think?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're off. You know, we disagree. I was thinking 99.8. You say 99.9. So it's almost everyone.
Yeah, almost everyone.
Yeah. And in my experience, that's true of the best churches. The best Bible churches, when their young people are dating, when they're engaged at length, and they're not chaperoned, they're having sex. The girls are getting pregnant. Some of them are going to have abortions. The pastor's daughters are going to have abortions. And I talked to a good Christian friend yesterday, and he said, not at my church, that kind of thing. And I'm thinking, if the young people are not chaperoned, they are having sex.
Yeah.
They just are, because it permeates our culture. It permeates it. And so it's not like it's sinful not to be chaperoned, but it's not wise.
It's not wise. And you also want to avoid the appearance of evil, because even if you're together alone and you're not doing anything, you're just talking and hanging out, it's still not, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, and it makes other people uncomfortable.
Yes, it does.
And so we have, you know, as a pastor also, I get counseling calls. I can't tell you, Maxime, how many times people have said, well, my nephew, my Christian nephew and his girlfriend, they're on a trip together. And they share the same hotel room with their Christian parents in one room, and their son and his girlfriend are sharing another room, and the Christian parents say, well, they promised us they're not doing anything.
Yeah, right.
And we think, you know, how stupid do people want to come across? It's like, boy, you couldn't appear more stupid if you tried.
Exactly.
You wake up in the morning and say, I want everyone to know how stupid I am. So anyway, the neat thing about this is it makes everyone around you honest. Doesn't make you honest only. It makes everybody. We don't have to lie to ourselves. We don't have to lie to each other. And we could all be comfortable and enjoy the time of the engagement.
Yeah.
It's a pleasant time.
It is.
Yeah. And so, and you don't end up having a baby on your 7th month anniversary of your wedding. You know?
Precisely.
Yeah. So it's just, it's God's way.
It is.
It's neat.
It is. And it gives you, also it gives you something to look forward to. I mean, we're not living together. I moved my stuff in today because Brian
today,
and all
because
the
tonight
men,
is the bachelor party.
They're all going camping.
They're all meaning me too.
You too, yeah.
I'm not one for camping, really. We love national parks, but we love the lodges in national
yeah,
parks.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Like
so,
El Tovar Lodge in Grand Canyon, Old Faithful in Yellowstone. But tonight, it's the tent. In the sleeping
bag. It's a tent.
With a couple of our little boys and about, I don't know, 20 guys or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, you're going to be with about 20 guys. So
yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
So I trust in you to keep an eye out.
Okay. And so you get to move into the loft downtown Denver.
Tonight, so I'm
what a beautiful loft too you guys have. Really beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, for newlyweds who are young, what a way to start your life together. It's just gorgeous. And so you get to move in today.
Yes,
you'll be there tonight.
I'll be there tonight.
And the wedding is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Wow. So, Maxime, it has just been a joy to get to know you. Everybody is so happy for my nephew, Brian. So it'll be Brian and Maxime. So that's going to be fun. And you're already wonderfully kind with our little boys. We have three little ones and 4 older, uglier ones. No, they're not really ugly. They're just older.
They're
boys.
Just older.
Yeah.
But your boys are cute. So
they're so fun.
And they're so much fun.
Little Dominic, we were talking about him. He's going to be the ring bearer. And we had a wedding rehearsal this morning. And so somebody told the story to Brian's family who came in from New Jersey, said that Dominic in Sunday school, he was asked, Dominic, what do you have to do to go to heaven? And little six-year-old Dominic said, first, you have to die. He said, you got to be dead first.
And just, he says that with his little accent. You got to be dead first.
Yeah, right.
It's so funny.
He is funny. So anyway, it's bringing the whole family together for a time of celebration. And then my brother will get married.
The week after us.
The week after. And that is so very exciting. So, okay, now I want to ask you about, now that you're a Christian, you're out here in Colorado. Not only that, that's got to be a culture shock to be out like in the American West versus in the Netherlands.
Pretty much.
But you're not just in the American West. You're at Denver Bible Church. That is the ultimate culture shock. So at our church, we preach the gospel. We bring the Christian influence to our culture. One of the things we do is we fight abortion. What do you think about that?
I think it's the right thing to do. It's awful killing your babies, and it's horrendous.
Yeah. So you guys actually are pretty courageous. The pro-life movement, we always need up-to-date information about what they're doing inside the abortion clinics. So you and your fiance, Brian, my nephew, what did you guys do one morning?
We went into Planned Parenthood with a camera and a voice recorder, and we had an appointment, and I was supposedly pregnant, which of course I'm not, just to have that clear.
Right.
And we went
in. You guys went in basically to find out the lay of the land and to get us the kind of information we need on an ongoing basis, just to keep tabs on their latest, how they operate, so that we can be as wise as we can in trying to thwart them to stop them eventually from killing kids.
Yeah, and it was awful. It was just such an evil place. And I remember sitting there with Brian, and we were both looking at each other like, this is awful. You know, we're in this such a place, and it's so evil, and all these people are killing babies like it's nothing. And people are sitting in the waiting room just smiling and laughing and making jokes. And we're like, how can you be laughing when you're about to kill your baby? Mm-hmm. It was pretty harsh. It was really harsh.
Yeah, but thank you for doing that. And the information we got was very helpful.
I'm glad.
So thank you for all that. And now you guys, you're involved with Colorado Right to Life.
Yeah, we are.
Thank you for doing that. You guys became members. And there's a banquet coming up. I thought if you could help me for one moment, I want to encourage people to come to the banquet. Because that is Saturday, September 22nd. And Brian Rohrbaugh, Columbine Dad, he's the president of Colorado Right to Life. And what an extraordinary time, because in the last year, Colorado Right to Life has probably spoke, you know, their leaders, mostly Brian, but the leaders generally, have probably spoken to about 50 million people because of the opportunity that Brian has to speak through the mass media to warn people that godlessness leads to abortion, which leads to a culture of death and murder, sexual immorality. And he does that so powerfully. And on September 21st, the Columbine Memorial is being unveiled.
Wow.
That is going to be powerful. That has been a national news story, just the memorial. And the fact that Brian Rohrbaugh was told all the other parents can have their words engraved, but not yours, because they didn't like his words. So what has happened is he's threatened to sue them, and they eventually back down. Brian has excellent lawyers. They go to the Supreme Court when they need to. They've gotten a tremendous amount of information disclosed when the whole government is trying to keep it secret. So very powerful. And so they gave in eventually and agreed that Brian's words can be engraved on the memorial. This Columbine Memorial that even Bill and Hillary were involved in raising way over $1 million for, this very significant memorial. So then when Brian basically won that battle, the media came to him, Maxime, and they said, okay, well, what are your words? Because nobody's reported what they are. So what are the words that you were fighting over? And he said, those words are private until the unveiling of the memorial. So it's actually been reported around the country that this Columbine Dad's words are secret, but they will be revealed with the unveiling of the memorial on September 21st. So that is going to be an important day just in the history of the Christian community, trying to reach out to our culture and say, we can't forget God. We forget God and it leads to tragedy.
It does.
So now the next day is the banquet, the annual banquet for Colorado Right to Life. I mean, you can't time this stuff better. And we have the former Kansas Attorney General coming in, who was fighting against their late-term abortionist, George Tiller, who was just arraigned on 19 counts of criminal abortion in Kansas. And so Phil Klein, he's been all over the media, Fox News, O'Reilly, and he's a neat fighter trying to stop this one abortionist. Well, he's going to speak at the banquet. And Brian Rohrbaugh will be there. Of course, he's the president of Colorado Right to Life. And our hope and prayer is that this banquet is a great success. So it's very simple. People who are thankful for the battle against abortion going on, led by Colorado Right to Life, the renewed national effort to promote the personhood of the unborn child and to stop the child-killing regulations, because that's immoral.
It is.
It's immoral to say if you wait 24 hours, you can kill the baby. Or if you sign this piece of paper, you kill the baby. Or if you pull them out 4 inches further or less, you could kill the baby. That's all immoral. That's what National Right to Life has been doing for going on 30 years. So Colorado Right to Life is saying that is immoral. That has backfired. It's destroyed all our judges now, our pro-abort judges, all of them. So we need to honor God and support the God-given right to life. So people who are listening, who want to help Colorado Right to Life move forward, please, I'm going to give you a phone number. Take it down or go to their website, coloradorighttolife.org. If you could register to attend this banquet, and if you're going to come, you and your wife, two people, that's great. But if you have the wherewithal, meaning if you have friends, and you could fill a table. We need people who are listening to this right now to say, I'm going to be at that banquet September 22nd, and I'm going to come with my wife or our friends or our kids, or I'm going to get a whole table, and I'm going to call Colorado Right to Life right now, and I'm going to tell them, plan on me sponsoring a table, and you get 10 people, you got a table. It's $60 for registration. It's just fish or poultry. So easy. The fish is a seared salmon. It's going to be fabulous. And the poultry is stuffed capon breast. Going to be fabulous. And the speaker is Phil Klein. And the purpose is to promote the personhood wing of the pro-life party while the child-killing regulators are on the defensive. So please call Colorado Right to Life right now, 303-753-9394. Please call 303-753-9394. If you really want to be at a Bob and Yurt Live table, we'll have a few tables. You could call us to register. You could do it that way. 303-463-7789. That's if you want to sit at a Bob and Yurt Live table. 303-463-7789. And our website is kgov.com. Maxime, thank you.
Thank you, Uncle Bob.
Am I invited to your wedding?
You're doing the wedding. Of course you are.
Oh, yeah, I'm performing it.
Yeah.
Okay, and Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. Maranatha.